started talking last time about Birchas Hanenin, we mentioned certain general halachas about Bracha Rishona, and then we started talking about the Bracha of Hamotzi. So the last point that we spent a lot of time on is saying that for Pasa Babakistin, something that's defined as Pasa Babakistin, you would make Hamotzi on it, but only if you're Kovesu. Pasa Babakistin is a lower level of pas. It's not classical pas, regular lech and regular bread, you make a hamotzi, no question about it. Pas of a bekistin, because it's a lower level of lechem, you're only going to make a hamotzi if you're koveh sudan. Well, this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskens. In Aruch Chaim, in Luchas Brachas, in Kup Samaches Yilvav. Mishnah Berurah there discusses, what does it mean to be koveh sudan pas of a bekistin? How much do you have to eat? So let's first take the case where you're eating just pasav abakistin. How much of the pasav abakistin itself do you have to eat? The Mishnah Berurah quotes some achlokas achronim. Some say maybe we should make a comparison between Erev Tchumen and Brachas. You know, when it comes to Erev Tchumen, say a person wants to walk more than 2,000 amas outside of a city. So what does he do? He leaves in Erev. He leaves the Gemara in Erev and says that you have to put mazon shtei sudas, the amount of food that you would eat for two meals, because that's the ikar of Shabbos, even though we eat three meals, but shalashudis, you can take a little bit of that second meal. But basically, two meals is the food for Shabbos. So for an Erev Tchumen, you have to leave mazon shtei sudos within the 2,000 amos, but right at the very end, and then you can walk 2,000 amos past that, because the mazon shtei sudos is koveh your makom. We view that as your makom, not the city, not the place where you are, but rather the place where you have the sudos, so then you can walk 2,000 amos in that direction. So come some of the achorim and say that if for Erev Tchumen, the shir is mazon shtei sudos, as the Mishnah in Erevin says, that is either six beitzim or eight beitzim. It's actually machlokes what the mazon shtei sudos are. So what comes out is that each suda is how much? Three or four beitzim, because that's half of the mazon shtei sudos. Some say that if for Erev Tchumen, a suda is three or four beitzim, then for Pasav Bekistin, it should also be three or four beitzim. But that's the shir, the standard shir. If you have to eat three or four eggs worth of food of Pasav Bekistin, and then you make a hamotzi. But other achronim say no, they quote from the Loshon of many Rishonim. Rishonim seem to say that it's not a shir kavua, a gimel of dalet beitzim, but rather it's what people normally eat for a sudas erev, for a sudas boker, meaning for a standard meal. Sudas Erev and Sudas Boker, that's the Loshon. I think it's not either Sudas Erev or Sudas Boker. I think it means a Suda Chashuva. You know, if a person normally has a muffin and milk for breakfast, I don't think he's going to make a hamotzi on the muffin. He said possibly the kistin could be a sweetened dough or sweetened batter, and maybe cake might be an example. So, you know, I don't think anyone's going to say that he should bench on a muffin. I think we're talking about a Suda Chashuva. We generally don't eat a lot for breakfast. So to define breakfast as the Suda Kvua, the Suda Chashuva, I think is a little difficult. You know, according to these Achronim, that it's a more general definition that you have to eat, you have to be Koveh Suda in the sense of eating the amount that most people eat for a Suda Chashuva or a Suda Kvua, a significant meal. We're talking about supper. Right? Supper is a Suda Chashuva. We're not talking about, you know, a chasen meal. It doesn't have to be that much. But supper, people normally eat. There's a sense of chashivus in the suda of supper. I think that's probably the definition that we would use. That Pasav Bekistin gets a hamotzi and a birchas hamazon, if you eat enough of the Pasav Bekistin, that it would be defined as a suda chashuva. Not necessarily gimel adalet beitzim. You have to estimate how much does a person eat. Sometimes we eat more than gimel adalet beitzim for sudas erev, right? Gimel beitzim is, I think a beitzim is two kezesim. So gimel beitzim is six kezesim, not so much. Right? Not so much. So maybe taki and naki, you have to eat more than that. But I think we would define it based on a suda chashuv. That's if you eat only pasav abakistin. What of the pasav abakistin are we including in the kviya suda? So it's not just the kemach, not just the flour, but the whole thing, right? All of the ingredients, the sugar, etc., everything, not just the flour, but all of the ingredients. What's that din if you're eating not just pasav abakistin, but you're eating other items as well, which is probably the more common situation. You're eating a little bit of pasav abakistin, but you're also eating other items. Do we include the other items into the definition, to the measurement of kriya suda or not? So some achronim say we don't. We only include the pas. We include the pas of the kistin. Of course, we'll include all the ingredients in the pas of the kistin. Right? If we're talking about pies, it's not just the pie crust, but what's inside the pie, right? And the sugar, etc. All the other ingredients too. But some of the achronim say that that's all that we consider in the kfiyas suda. We don't look at the at other secondary items that we're eating in the meal. Comes the Magen Avraham and says no. In terms of Kriya Suda for Passover B'Kistin, we not only include the Passover B'Kistin itself, but even the other items that you're eating. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham L'Halacha that we have to consider not only the Passover B'Kistin itself, but even the other food items that we're eating. Like, let's say you're eating salads, and you're eating other things, right, that are not Passover B'Kistin. Meat and other things, shahako, right, other things. So you have to consider those items in terms of the Kriya Suda as well. Yes, Ezra.
Yes, so wash yourself at a kiddush and make sure that you're...
Ah, we're going to get to that. So this Magen Avraham is a very, very important sheep. In a pasuk like the Magen Avraham, which seems the way the Mishnah Berurah there in Sukkot and Chav Dalet is paskening, so then what would emerge is, let's say a person, forget the kiddush for a moment, let's first talk about pizza. So we said some hold that you don't make a hamotzi on pizza unless you eat more than two slices. Right? So we said it's not so clear that that's really true. It could be that maybe pizza is not Passover B'Kistin because it's not a snack food, it's really a meal food. But there are those that are making. There are those that are still making bizman hazeh, that if they eat only two slices of pizza, they only make a mizonos. What emerges from the Magen Avraham is that that psak would only apply if that's all that you're eating. If you're eating only the pizza, you're eating only two slices of pizza. Let's eat the two slices of pizza plus french fries. That might change everything already. Because if you tell me that if I eat a little bit more than two slices of pizza, that's already a kfiyas suda. So what you're saying is that a little bit more than the pizza is enough in total quantity that that's the normal kind of suda that people have. So if the Magen Avraham holds that kfiyas suda is not a function of just the Passover B'Kistin, it's a function of all that you're eating, so it's not just if I eat a little bit more pizza, even if I have french fries or some other food item in addition, not drink, but if I have some other food item in addition to the pizza, perhaps I'd have to wash on that, because then I would have a kriya suda. Avi?
Someone's eating very little Passover B'Kistin, the majority meat, salads, and everything else. You see, it's still washed.
So you have to have a kezias of the Passover B'Kistin. At least a kezias. If you have less than a kezias, you'd have to make a mizonos on it. That's not choshed enough that you'll have to wash. At least a kezias. But the chiddush of the Magen Avraham is that you don't have to have the gimel adalet beitzim or the other sheer kviyas of the Passover B'Kistin itself, even if the other items lead you to the shir kviyas, that's enough to be kaveh suda, and you have to make a hamotzi and a bichas hamozon because you're having a kazayis of the Passover B'Kistin as well. Yeah?
Liquids included in this
cheshvan? No, just silence. Okay. So the other naftamin is what Ezra was saying. Let's say you have a kiddush or a buffet where you're eating some cake or crackers, but you're eating a lot more than that. What do we have at a kiddush? I don't have to describe it to you, right? The crackers with the tuna fish and the egg salad and the herring. It's very common to eat crackers, but there's a lot more that you're going to be eating besides the crackers. There's cholent, right? And there could be pasta and other things. So pasta is not Passover B'Kistin, but the crackers are, right? Certainly according to the last definition of the Shulchan Aruch, it's snack food, it is a brittle cracker. Sometimes you'll be eating cake. Sometimes. I think most people at a kiddush are going to be eating a little sponge cake or some kind of cake over there. But the fish and the kugel and the cholent and everything, you're going to have a kadesh. Yeah, sometimes people come home, they don't have any room to eat anything afterwards. They have the whole meal there. So the Aruch HaShulchan and Simen Kuf Samaches Sif Yud Ches complained that people are eating a kiddushin and they're not washing. This is not just a complaint in 21st century America. Aruch HaShulchan also complained back in Europe. So he wants to suggest, maybe even Lam Yitzchus on the island. He says, maybe you could say, based on a riff. The riff says, when do we make a mizonos on Passover B'Kistin? That's hecha de ochila b'toras kisnin. If you eat the Passover B'Kistin b'toras kisnin, then you only make a mizonos. What does that mean, toras kisnin? So the Aruch HaShulchan wants to suggest, maybe the riff has in mind that it's not just an issue of shear, but it's an issue of how you're eating. The idea of kfiyas suda is not just how much you're eating, but how you're eating it. That means you're eating it as an achila kvua. You're sitting down and having a meal. So you're sitting down having a meal, and you're eating a certain shear, so then you'd make a hamotzi on Passover B'Kistin. But let's say you're eating on the fly. You're standing up. Right? You're not eating the kiddush. You know, sometimes when you come to a kiddush, they actually have a sit-down kiddush. People sit down. So if you're eating a lot, Right? And you're eating crackers, and it's a sit-down kiddush, that could be an issue. So in some sit-down kiddushin, they actually give you challah rolls. So then it probably would be kedai. If you eat enough, you want to eat a significant amount, then you really should wash. If you're just eating a stand-up kiddush, it could be that even if you're eating enough in the shir to be kovei suda, but it's not an achila bekfias. The derech achila is not bekfias. Maybe in that case, you still would not have to wash and bench on the Passover kistin. Because it could be that Passover kistin gets a hamotzi in a brechas hamazon only if you eat it betoras an achila kvua, achila suda. But if you're eating it betoras kistin, not just that it is Passover kistin, but you're eating it betoras kistin, then maybe that's not called an achila kvua and it wouldn't get a hamotzi. Okay, so that's a possible limud zchus on those who don't wash and bench at a regular kish, and it's not a siddur kish. Rabbi Shachter quoted another chumra from this mother, based on this mother Rabbi. He said, b'shem Rav Moshe, that maybe even if a person eats cake at the end of a meal, if a person is satisfied from the cake that he eats at the end of the meal, even if he ate everything else before the cake, you eat the cake at the beginning. The whole meal, you're eating salad and meat and other things, and then you eat your cake at the end of the meal. Moshe wanted to say, maybe that's also enough to have to wash and bench. You're eating Passover Kistin, you're Kovei Asuda, but I'm not really Kovei Asuda, I'm not Savei, I'm not satisfied, I'm eating my meal, but then I eat cake, and you know when you start to eat cake what happens. You eat cake, and then you're talking, you eat a little bit more cake, and a little bit more cake, and then you really feel full. Moshe wants to say, maybe in such a case you'd have to wash there too. So it would be kedai, according to the Magen Avraham, not to eat so much cake at the end. Right? Because if you eat the cake at the end, you'll be up a creek without a paddle, right? It'll turn out that you should have made hamotzi on the cake, but you didn't, because when you started, you didn't have a kviyas suda. But then in the end, you ate enough to have to bench. So you certainly would have to bench. And you get yourself into trouble. So I'm not saying that you can't eat cake at the end of a meal. I think it's probably good for some people not to eat any cake at the end of the meal. But even if you want to eat a little bit of cake, just try not to eat so much cake that you're going to have a kedei sviya, and then you're going to really run into bracha achrona issues, whether you're supposed to bench on that. Okay. Often, yes, Eitan.
Doesn't the Shulchan Aruch say that if you plan not to have...
So I'm going to get to that right now. Often a person begins a meal, he doesn't expect to be kovei asuda. He's not going to eat enough. Let's say he started by wanting to eat one slice of pizza. And then he decides, you know what, maybe I'll make it a meal and I'll eat two more slices. So he wasn't going to be kovei asuda, but then he changed his mind. So what's the din? So it says the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Samaches of Kuf Chavav, that if the person is going to eat a kvi asuda, mikanu lahaba, from now and on, so then he has to wash right now. He has to make a hamotzi right now. And of course, the Bichas HaMazon at the end. Because from now on, he's going to eat an achila kvua. So what's the shine? Let's say he's only going to have a sheer kvia suda bitzira of what he ate before, right? Like let's say he's a person who's mekel that if he eats two slices of pizza, he's only going to make a mezonos. He ate one slice, now he's going to eat two more slices. So the two more slices is not a kvia suda, but bitzira of what he ate already, it is a kvia suda. So what does he do then? So he doesn't have to make a hamotzi because he's not eating a kviya suda mikanu lahaba, but he would have to bench. Does he have to make any bracha rishon, or does he just continue eating the pizza? So the Mishnah Berurah in the Sharat Tzion in Sifkat Chafalev says that he thinks that since he didn't wash at the beginning of the meal, clearly he wasn't expecting to eat the rest of the pizza, wasn't expecting to eat enough Passover Kistin that he'll be kviya suda, or to eat other items enough that he'll have an achila b'kvias and he'll have to wash and bench. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says he thinks he should make a mezonos on the Passover b'kistin that he eats mikanu lahaba, because he didn't have in mind to eat that extra Passover b'kistin. Interesting chumra, but it makes a lot of sense. Meaning when you first ate the pizza, you made a mezonos on that pizza, but you made a mezonos al das to eat whatever was in front of you. Clearly, you didn't have in mind to eat three slices of pizza, because if you had in mind to eat three slices of pizza from the beginning, then you would have made a hamotzi. So says the Mishnah Berurah, it's mistamber that you should make a mezonos on the, you should make another mezonos on the rest of the pizza. Because any time that a person is nimlach, he changes his mind, and he decides to eat more, so then he has to make another bracha rishana, because he didn't have in mind the rest of the food with the first bracha rishana. Normally a person comes home, you know, a person comes home and the cupboard is not bare, right? He opens up and he gets some food and he starts eating, you know, so it's not like he only has in mind what he has in front of him. He has in mind whatever is in the fridge. He's not going to finish the fridge, but you know, everything is fair game, so to speak, right? But here, if you're eating in a restaurant, right, if you're eating in a pizza store and you didn't wash on that slice of pizza, it's pretty clear you didn't have in mind to eat three slices. So now if you're going to eat the three slices, you clearly didn't have that in mind from the beginning. So Mishnah Berurah says you should make a mezonos. And then, of course, you should bench at the very end. Okay, questions? Yes?
He should make
a new mezonos.
But make a bracha achrona from the first slice to the end?
No. He doesn't. The Berachas HaMazon will cover the first slice. That's fine. The Berachas HaMazon can cover the first slice. But he has to make a new bracha rishon on the next food, because he clearly didn't have that in mind from the beginning, because if he did, he would have made a hamotz, not a zonos. A number of years ago, some manufacturers created a concept called mezonos bread. It was a creation that was for convenience, that there were people who didn't want to have to wash. Certain circumstances, like a person is on an airplane, it's very hard to wash. You know, you can only imagine the kind of lines that you're going to have. The water doesn't come out so quickly on the planes. So, you know, to have everyone wash is going to be very difficult, and then the stewardesses are going to be upset, and then there's going to be turbulence, etc., etc. Right? So there are definitely circumstances where it's difficult for a person to wash. So the food manufacturers, the food companies, created this idea called mezonos bread. They thought they would save everything. What's the concept behind mezonos bread? So they knead the dough with apple juice, with made peiros. And they felt that if the dough is kneaded with apple juice, or with other kinds of sweeteners, right, honey or other things, so then it's pasul bekistin. And on pasul bekistin, you only make a mezonos, so that'll solve the problem. That was what the invention was based on. And for a while, the tzibur bought it. Many, many poskim over the years, and certainly recently, but over the years, many poskim have come out to say that it's highly questionable to rely on this kula for many different reasons. Based on everything we've said, we can figure out some of the reasons, right? So, first of all, it's not clear that it's possible because in bichlal. We mentioned last time that the Maimar Mordechai and some other achronim have a machlokas where the pasul bekistin is limited to the three definitions of the Shulchan Aruch. Some achronim claim itaka is limited to the three definitions. Those are the only cases that are pasul bekistin. What are those three definitions again? The filled dough, the sweetened dough, and the brittle cracker, right? Good. So some achronim say dafka those three definitions. Comes the Maimar Mordechai and says, no, I think these are only examples. Pasul bekistin is really a snack food as opposed to a meal food. According to the Maimar Mordechai, to classify mezonos bread as pasul bekistin is hardly questionable because it's eaten as part of a meal. You don't eat that as a snack. It's used as a bread substitute. So to say that that's a snack food, very difficult. According to the Maimar Mordechai, it's a darav pashut that mezonos bread is not pasul bekistin. So let's say according to the other achronim. The other achronim will say that pasul bekistin is limited to the three definitions of the Shulchan Aruch. What do you think? Should this be pasul bekistin? So there are those who point out that if you look carefully at the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, in the definitions of pasul bekistin, it's really hardly questionable. Why? Because this idea of mezonos bread, what's this mezonos? Which definition of pasul bekistin would mezonos bread fall under the rubric of? The second one, the sweetened dough, exactly, right? The sweetened dough. So how sweetened is sweetened? That's the question. How sweet is sweet? I know the guys in this year are very sweet. But how sweet is sweet when it comes to the sweetened dough? So the Shulchan Aruch says that you have to add enough meperos that it's nikar be'isa. It's recognizable in the dough. Right? Time is recognizable in the dough. That's the only time that it'll be called pasul bekistin. That's already quite a level. It's not just that you have the apple juice in there, but you can tell. Someone gives you a mezonos roll, you can tell the difference between a mezonos roll and a non-mezonos roll. Okay, that's point number one. So it's not even clear, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that a mezonos roll is pasul bekistin. It's not so clear that you can really taste the apple juice. But the Ramah goes even further. The Ramah says that tzarech she'yeh sham harbe tavlin od vash kemini mesika shekaron lekech. It has to be so much tavlin, so much mini mesika, so much sweetener, that it's like honey cake, like a sponge cake. Shekemat hadvash v'hatavlin heim ikr, says the Ramah. That it's kemat, that the sweetener is the ikr. Not just that you can taste the sweetener, it's so nikr, the taste is so nikr. It's kemat the ikar of the food. That's quite a level to reach, right? That's quite a level. That it's so much there that it's kemat the ikar. I don't think the Zonos brand satisfies that kind of requirement. Right, and it's so much there that's kemat the ikar. I think everyone would say the ikar of the mazonos, but it's the flour, right? It's the bread. Okay, even if you say that it's sweetened enough that I can taste the apple juice, which is questionable by itself, but I don't think it's the ikar. I don't even think it's 50% of the bread. So even according to those who would say the Passover kisn is limited to the three definitions of the Shulchan Aruch, does mazonos bread fall under the rubric? The Passover Kisten, not so clear. And there's a third point to keep in mind as well, and that's the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says that even if something is Passover Kisten, right, even if we'll say that it doesn't get a hamotzin, you don't have to wash it doesn't get a brechas hamazon, unless you're kaveh suda. But what do I include in the kaveh suda? Just the Passover Kisten? According to the Magen Avraham, no, I include all the food items that I'm eating. Typically, you're eating a meal. You're eating a meal. The airplane food might not be so good, but it's still a meal, right? That's debatable, right? It's still a meal. It's a full meal. That's a pretty big meal sometimes, right? According to the Magen Avraham, even if we will go out on a limb and define Mazonos bread as Passover Bekistin, but maybe you are Kovei Asuda. Maybe we should consider it as though you are Kovei Asuda on this meal. The Passover Kisten plus. Passover Kisten plus everything else you're eating. So to make a mazonos on Passover Kisten, on mazonos bread, if you're eating it with a meal, is really highly questionable. Some say maybe we should define mazonos bread as Passover Kisten. Some who are machne. Right? Well, we're not going to eat it as the meat. They're not going to eat the mazonos bread with the other food. They'll say, look, it is Passover Kisten, but we're going to be machne for the Magen Avraham. That because we're eating other things, we're not going to eat the Passover Kisten, because then we'd have to wash and bench. But they're willing to be mekel that maybe it is defined as Passover Kisten. They feel that they can taste the apple juice, and they hold that Passover Kisten is limited to the three definitions of the Shulchan Aruch. But even according to those people, they'd still be machmer not to eat the Passover Kisten together with the other foods, because they feel that that will be considered a kviyas suda. So there are those who will eat the mazonos bread, but they'll wait till later. They'll hold the mazonos bread on the side, eat the meal, and then 45 minutes later, you know, they'll make a bracha achron on the meal, and then later, an hour later, they'll eat the mazonos bread separately. Because then they're not being kovei suda. Those people are obviously assuming against the Maimon Mordechai, right? They're assuming that this can be Passover Kisten, even though it's probably not a snack food. And they're assuming that it does fall under the rubric of Passover Kisten as the Shulchan Aruch defines it. So they're just machmer to assume that they shouldn't eat it together with the other foods. But there are many who say that the mazonos bread b'chalal is not Passover Kisten at all. It's Passover Gomer, and therefore, really, there's no room to be made. Yes?
But does the shear of the mazono bread take any factor? Because if you say that it's less than three eggs worth, because it's just like, you know, that little piece of bread.
Right. The bread is less than three eggs worth, but if everything else you're eating... See, it's not... I think most achronim assume it's not just a three or four eggs worth. It's what's considered a suda kvua. So that's the question. Maybe some people would say that the airplane meal, that's not a suda kvua. I mean, when I sit down to eat, come on, I eat more than just that little. It's got to be small enough to fit on that tray, you know, to fit on that little tray when, you know, the person in back of you is like putting back his seat. You know, the soup is falling into your lap and. It's a little itty-bitty tray. I mean, how much food can you fit there? So maybe that's what people are make up for. Maybe they assume it's not a kviya suda b'chlam. Maybe that's the answer. But that would only be a good enough kula if you hold it's possible b'kisten. If you claim that it's pas gomor, so then you have to wash on it anyway. What you're saying, basically, Ari, is that if the mazonos bread is possible b'kisten, so what, you want to be machmer to say, according to the Magen Avraham, we're mitzarif the other foods? But who says even with the tziruf, even with combining all the other foods, you're really going to have a kviyas suda? That's what you're basically asking. So maybe that's true. Maybe taka some people are mekel, that they hold its Passover kisnin, and you don't have a kviyas suda here, and that's why you can eat the mazonos bread together with the meal. Many poskim assume it's not Passover kisnin at all. You know, I think there's room to be machmer. So it's better not to eat the mazonos bread. I mean, look, you can survive. It's not. I mean, how long is the flight going to be? I think the best thing is not to eat the mazonos bread. You want to eat it later? Take it off the flight, right? You'll eat it later in the middle of a meal. You want to eat it as part of a meal? Eat a roll. You want to eat the mezonos bread as well? That's fine. I'm not saying you should throw it out. But to eat the mezonos bread, to make a mezonos on the mezonos bread, might be highly questionable. So perhaps there's room to be machmir.
One should wash on it either.
What?
One should make a hamotzi on it either.
I personally feel you can make a hamotzi on it, because I think it really would be defined as a hamotzi. I think if you take the Maimon Mordechai's pshat seriously, which is the way Rabbi Willie, Rabbi Shachta Paskin, that's why they say you make a hamotzi on pizza, I don't think mezonos bread is any worse than pizza. So I think it's viewed as a meal food. It's really viewed as a meal food, so we get a hamotzi. That's what I think. But others perhaps might disagree. So if you want to be machmir, so then eat it as part of a bread meal. But I don't know, to make a mezonos on the mezonos bread, I think really is highly questionable, according to many posts. Yes?
Let's say you didn't have the shear, but the kavanah was to make it through, say, Malava Malka after Shabbos.
I'm not sure that that counts. I think it has to be a suda kfua, which is what we said before. Just having breakfast, even though that's called a meal, it's called breakfast. But if all you're eating is just a Danish, or you're eating, a muffin, I don't think, even if we wouldn't go with the definition of the gimel of dalet beitzim, go with the gimel of dalet beitzim, you don't have gimel of dalet beitzim in a muffin. But even if we don't go with that definition, we say, no, a suda is a suda. But I don't think that breakfast is a suda chashuva. I think we have to look at more of a significant meal to define something as a kfir suda. I'm not so sure that just because you're eating it as a meal, the shame the meal, that's enough. You're saying, no, lava malka is a suda that there might be a minute to eat. Maybe that defines it automatically as an achila b'kfir. That's basically what you're saying, right? Lava malka is not a chiv. It's a minig. It's a proper thing to do. It is a proper thing to do. I don't know if that would automatically give it a sense of kavius. I'm not convinced. Yeah.
What about the same didn't apply to puff pastries and calzone type?
Calzone is a filled dough, right? That's a filled dough. The calzone. How is the calzone made? They bake the dough first. Or they bake the dough with what's inside of it.
Yeah.
I bake it with what's inside of it. So that's possible of a kistin. Though then, this is according to the Magen Avraham that Noah Isaacs mentioned last time, that pashtida, if you have a filled dough with meal-type foods, that's not possible of a kistin. So it could be that since it's filled with cheese could be a meal-type food. Meat. The cases of pashtida, talking about meat and fish and things like that, but some poskim say cheese is also a meal food. That's a real staple. It's not just, mushrooms or something. You have a vegetable calzone, so that's pasul b'kistin. But if you have a mushroom cheese calzone or a cheese something or other, if you have cheese in the calzone, it could be that that's like pashtida, so that that would be pasul according to everyone. According to the Maimon Mordechai, I think a calzone wouldn't be called pasul b'kistin anyway, because people eat it as a meal. They don't eat it as a snack. Who eats a calzone as a snack? So again, that's dependent on these definitions. If you take the Maimon Mordechai seriously, that anything that's a meal food is not pasul b'kistin, so I think for sure calzone will be viewed as pas gomer. If you make it for the other shita, that it's only the definitions of the Shulchan Aruch, so calzone is a filled dough. If it is pasul b'kistin, unless you want to be machmir and say, no, if it's pashtida, then it's not. It's more than pasul b'kistin according to everyone. And I think the best thing for a calzone is to wash. Okay, let's move on to some other hamotzi-related questions. Poskim discuss, let's say a person has bread. When does the bread lose the status of lechem? As long as it's lechem, you make a hamotzi in it, but then when it loses the status of lechem, then it only gets a mezonos. So when does it lose the status of lechem? So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Samaches, Siv Yud, writes that as long as the pieces of bread are kezayis in size, it's called lechem. It's always called lechem, no matter what happens to it. And it gets a hamotzi. Still a kezayis, it always gets a hamotzi. But if the pieces are cut into, right, if the lechem is cut into pieces that are smaller than a kezayis, so then it can lose the status of lechem, it can lose the hamotzi status if one of two things occur. Either if the bread is cooked. Cooking the bread can make it lose the status of lechem. What does cooking mean? It means in a kli rishon, that's yatzo lettuce bo. A kli rishon, not just a kli sheni, like we said, kli sheni is enom avashel. just put it into a cliche, like let's say you put bread into soup or something, right? Put bread into soup, that doesn't change anything. It's not cooked. Right? If the piece is more than a kazayis, there's nothing to talk about. But even if it's less than a kazayis, you still have to make a hamotzi on that bread that's put into the soup. How about if the bread is fried? So that's a big machlokes rishon. Not so simple. Machlokes rach halacha, where the frying, pan frying, that is not so much oil. But the pan frying is viewed as tzli, afia, is that baking, or is that viewed as bishel, cooking? So if it would be viewed as cooking, so then it would be mevatel the shem lechem. You wouldn't make a hamotzi on the bread. But if it's viewed as baking, or what, tzli, or roasting, it's not called bishel. So that it would still be called lechem, and you'd have to make a hamotzi. So tigun is a question. Right? Bishel and a kli rishon definitely pieces less than a kazayis. Let's get this straight. Okay, let's get this shot. Kazayis, if the pieces are a kazayis, it definitely gets a hamotzi. It doesn't lose the shein lechem. Let's say it's pachos mi kazayis. So then there are two ways that the shein lechem could be lost. Either if it's nisvashem. Right? So, that's like a kli rishon. Right? Tigun's a shayla. But deep frying, the post can say is bishon. Because mali shemen, mali mayim, what's the difference? Cook in water, cook in oil, call cooking. So deep frying, that's going to play a very important role. We'll see in some of our discussions. Let's take it slow. Deep frying is considered bishon. If the pieces are less than a kazayis, that'll be mevatel l'shem lechem. You won't make a hamotzi anymore on that bread. Yes.
Is baking considered to be under spasha?
What do you mean baking? Bread was baked before.
Let's say you take
put a piece of bread back into the oven.
I've seen like challah kugel. So let's say
we're going to talk about challah kugel. Challah kugel is not just baking. Challah kugel is made out of challah. We're going to talk about examples.
Okay.
Challah kugel is made out of challah, but the question is, what do you do with the challah before you make it into the kugel? Okay. Croutons, good, very good. You get to all these cases, good. So so one way to be mevatel l'shem lechem is to cook the bread. Again, we're talking about what size piece. Don't forget that nekuda. It's got to be less than a kazayis. More than a kazayis, it's never going to lose the shem lechem. If it's less than a kazayis, and if you cook the bread, it loses the shem lechem, it doesn't get hamotz. That's one way to be mevatel l'shem lechem. The other way to be mevatel l'shem lechem is if it loses the tsuras hapas. There's no tzuras hapas, even if it's not cooked. Cooking will be mevatel l'shem lechem, even if you do see a tzuras hapas. And losing the tzuras hapas is mevatel l'shem lechem, even if it's not cooked. Let's say you soak it in water. Soak the bread in water. Sometimes you soak it long enough that it doesn't look like bread anymore. So then it doesn't get a hamotzi. Even if it's not cooked. Because it loses the shem lechem. If it's less than a kazayis. So what are some of the examples, lemais? Yes.
So if it's less than a kazayis and it's not cooked or loses shem lechem, you have to wash and bench over it?
You have to wash and bench. I mean, benching, right, even on a kazayis and a kibetza.
If it's less than a kazayis.
No. Less than, the pieces are less than a kazayis, but if you eat enough, right, that it's now more than a kazayis, midirabon, and there is a chiyuv to bench on that, even on a kazayis or a kibetza. Right, less than a kadesvia. Minatara, only a kadesvia you have to bench for. Midirabon, and even on a kazayis or a kibetza.
Less than a kazayis, you don't have to.
It's best to eat a kazayis. I mean, why less than a kazayis? It's a big shaila in terms of washing and other things. You should eat at least a kazayis of bread. Yes, if you're going to eat bread at all.
Just crushed matzah, into
flour. Matzah meal. We'll get to all these cases. Good, very good. So let's first talk about croutons. Right? What's the good of croutons? Croutons that are eaten with salmon. So normally the way croutons are made, they're less than a kazayis. I never really saw croutons that are more than a kazayis. Right? So the pieces are definitely less than a kazayis. And I think most croutons are deep fried. Some are, some are not, but I think many, many are deep fried. So the way it's been described to me, croutons are made in one of two ways. Some are made mitchila as small pieces of bread, small pieces of toast. So if they're made mitchila as croutons, as small pieces of toast, there's no question that they get mezonos, whether they're deep fried or not deep fried, because they're no different than pretzels. Right? They're not made as bread. They're made as pretzels to be eaten. You know, they're not pretzels, but they're made as croutons to be eaten with a salad. They were never a kazayis. So I don't think there's any question that they would only get a mezonos. Some have raised the shaila, though. Let's say it's made as toast. They make the croutons as a piece of toast, and then somehow it's cut down into smaller pieces. It makes a lot of sense to make it that way. It's probably very much more difficult to make croutons as smaller pieces. Probably easier to make them as large pieces of bread, and then you crumble them, you cut them down into smaller pieces. So, it's made as a large piece, and it had the shem lechem when it was made into toast. Now you're breaking it down into smaller pieces, so what's the status of that item? So I think because most croutons are deep fried, they would probably get a mezonos, since the pieces that you have are less than a kezias. So based on the definitions that we've had, right, if the pieces now are less than a kezias, even if they started as more than a kezias, they're now less than a kezias and they're deep fried. So that's the first example of how you can be mevatel l'shem lechem. That's like bishul, because deep frying is the same thing as bishul. If they started as a piece that's larger than a kezias and it's only pan fried and not deep fried, that would be a shaila, because we don't know if tigun is dino kibishul on that. I think in most cases the croutons are deep fried. They're pretty oily. I think they're deep fried. I think that's why, you know, there are some packages that actually say the bracha on them. They say b'hashkocha so and so brachos al mizonos or something. Right, so you can't always trust them, but I think
they have the healthier ones to try to bake. Like there's some brands that they bake on.
Ooh. So then we have to figure out if they're only baked. If the healthier ones are only baked, I could be healthy. So if they only that's the brand I should buy. If they're only baked, then we have to figure out were they made metchila as larger pieces of bread or not. If they're only made as like small little pieces, so then actually you make a hamotzi on that. But if they made it as a larger piece, so then it had a shem lechem, a chash of a shem lechem was a kezias. Now it's broken down into smaller pieces, but then taka there would be a shayla. Taka would be a shayla. What bracha to make on those two nuts? Yes.
One thing is
also,
I don't remember the reason, but I think if you make a bread, in order to be a toast in the first place, you
what?
If you make once I heard that if you make a bread in order to be a toast, not a regular bread, it's always mezonos.
If you make bread in the beginning only to make toast out of it, you're referring to malba toast, right? There's something called malba toast. But some people say malba toast only gets a mezonos. Many poskim hold it gets a hamotzi. So the reason why it might get a mezonos, some say, well, it's toast. It's not really bread. It's sort of like, I mean, what do you say? You're saying malba toast is pasva b'kisne. You're saying it's like the brittle cracker.
Yeah. So like here, you make it as a toast, and then you break it.
He's saying initially the crouton was only made as toast, so it should have it in a pasta b'kisne. No better than pasta b'kisne. And you're probably not gonna eat a kezias of the croutons in your salad. Imagine, right? So many croutons. So you want to say Avram that if it's made mechila as toast, so then it should have it in a pasta b'kisne, right? Maybe even according to the Maamar Mordechai, it's a bit of Passover kiss. It's not meal food. I don't know if I would call it a snack food, but it's not like bread. So maybe she won't get a mezonos anyway. Right here? It's an interesting svar. Right here. What's it in a challah kugel? Someone mentioned challah kugel? It's fun. Challah kugel. So challah kugel, the way it's been described to me, is made. I never really eat challah kugel, but. It's made out of pieces of challah that are less than a kezias that have been soaked in water. And they don't have a tzuras hapasa anymore. That's why I guess maybe I have eaten challah kugel, I just don't know because I can't see the challah. That's the way it's been described. That's the way it's described in the svar. So if it doesn't have a tzuras hapasa and the pieces are less than a kezias, what should the bracha be? The zonos, right? Because that's mevatel l'shem lechem according to the second definition. Lack of tzuras hapasa. How about French toast? So French toast typically does have a shear of a kezias, right? Made out of bread, it does have a shear of a kezias. What's more, it's normally not deep fried. It's normally pan fried. So even if the pizza would be less than a kezias, it would be a shayla whether imavata l'shem lechem. But I think in most cases, the French toast is made in pieces of a kezias, so I think it would get a hamos. Okay, it's close to Pesach, so let's talk about some Pesach foods for those who do brach. You know, some people don't eat gebrachs, but okay, we're not going to talk about that now. Matzah brei, right? That's a sore stuff. Okay. Matzah brei. So what is matzah brei? I don't know what matzah brei is, but the way it's been described to me. Okay. Matzah brah is not made out of matzah meal, but it's made out of small pieces of matzah. Small pieces of matzah that have been soaked in eggs, and they're fried in oil. So matzah brah is a big shayla, because since it's only been fried in oil, it's not clear that tikkun is going to be mevatel l'shem lechem. So, look, if the pieces of matzah are more than a kezayis, so then you make a hamotzi on a matzah bar. I think most matzah bar the pieces are not a kezayis, right? So the tikkun is not enough to be mevatel l'shem lechem. But I think sometimes when they make the matzah bar, they soak the matzah in water. They soak it in water. They soak it in oil before they fry it. And sometimes the tzuras hapas is lost as a result of that soaking. So you got to take a look at the matzah bar and see what's going on there, right? If the tzuras hapas is lost, so even though you're not cooking it, there's no process of cooking here. It's only pan fried. You're soaking in water, but you're not cooking in water. So the question is there a tzuras hapas or not? If there is a tzuras hapas, then it will get a hamotzi because it doesn't lose the shein lechem. It doesn't have a tzuras hapas, so then it would get a mazonas. That's the shayla. So many poskim say you should eat the matzah bar as part of a meal, because sometimes there's a suffix. I don't know. There are different ways of making matzah bar. I don't have the different recipes. I don't know. But I think I was once at a hotel for Pesach. If I remember correctly, they served matzah bar. I didn't eat the matzah bar, but there were like pieces of matzah that you could see in the matzah bar. So you say pieces of matzah. I don't know. They ate it. A lot of people there liked it very much. They were trying to convince me to eat it, but, I stood by my guns. you could see the pieces of matzah. I think there was a tzuras hapas in that matzah. So if there's a tzuras hapas, then they would have to get a hamotzi. So the whole point is you don't want to have to wash on the matzah bar, you just want to have a quick meal. Not so simple. So if there really is a tzuras hapas in the matzah bar, you can see the pieces of matzah, then you'd have to wash. After wash, eat the matzah bar as part of the meal. Yes?
So even if it's not, doesn't lose its tzuras hapas through the actual bishul, like you just soak it in the water,
correct.
Then you fry it, then
yeah.
Also it can be
mezonos? Yeah. These two halachas don't have to come together. Bishul can be mevatel l'shem lechem even if there is a tzuras hapas, and if the tzuras hapas is taken away, even without bishul, it also loses the shem lechem. And finally, matzah meal. So matzah meal is very small pieces of matzah, and it's joined together in many different kinds of dishes with water, like matzah balls, kremzels, right? Matzah pancakes. I think that's a kremzel. Matzah meal cakes. Different things, right? Matzah meal a whole year round, not just Pesach, is often used. So these things clearly get a mazonos, right? It's less than a kezayis, and you're cooking the matzah, right? It comes from matzah. Matzah would get a hamotzi according to the Ashkenazim, but you're breaking the pieces of matzah into pieces that have less than a kezayis in it, and you're cooking the matzah. So clearly that only gets a mizonos, aside from the fact that it probably doesn't have a tzuras hapas anyway, but forget about that. Bishul is mevatel l'shem lechem anyway, that's where they'd only get a mizonos. Okay, questions? Okay. There's a very interesting halacha. Another halacha, that we find a distinction between bread as opposed to other food items, hamotzi as opposed to other brachas. And that is regarding the issue of shinui makom. Let's say a person changes the place where they're sitting, where they have to make another bracha rishon. It's a complicated sugi in psachim, the Gemara in Daf Kuf Aleph in psachim. The Gemara says that if someone is mishana makom, someone changes, he moves from where he's eating in one house, and then he moves to a different house. He has to make another bracha rishonim. So the Amoraim argue there, and there's a machlokas rishonim lahalacha, where this halacha is said. Is this said by every food item? Or is the dafka said by a food item that is what we call eino ta'un bracha achrona bimkamo, something that doesn't require a bracha achrona in its place, like fruits, let's say. Right? An apple or something like that. You don't have to make a bar nefashis in the same place that you ate the apple. You ate it in one place and you didn't make a bracha achrona, then you move to a different house, you can make a bracha achrona, you can make a bar nefashis on the apple in a different place. So some Amoraim claim that a food item that doesn't require a bracha achrona bimkomo, so there's no kvius in that original place. So because there's no kviyus in that original place, so the fact that you have moved is mevatel your kviyus. So automatically you have to make a new bracha rishon on the item. Because since you don't have to go back to that original place to make the bracha achrona, so you've been mevatel your kviyus simply by moving away from the place, so you have to make a new bracha rishon. But other amaraim say, no, by all things, you have to make another bracha rishon as long as you move out of your place. The Ramah paskens like the first shita, that these two halachas are related to each other. That one halacha is that there are certain food items that need a bracha achrona ben kolmam. And if you need a bracha achrona ben kolmam, so then shinin makom is not going to require you to make another bracha rishona, because you still have that kriya since you have to go back to the original makom to make a bracha achrona for what you ate. And there are other things that don't need a bracha achrona b'mkomo. So if you eat something that doesn't need a bracha achrona b'mkomo, then you've been mevatel your kviyas by leaving that original place, and that's why you have to make another bracha rishona in the new place. So that's the psak of the Ramah. So now the question is, what falls under the rubric of that first halacha? What needs a bracha achrona b'mkomo? Not so simple. So the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Ayin Ches Sif Hei has three shittas. Some say all shiva saminim need a bracha achrona b'mkomo. Some say dafka chameshes minei dogam, mizonos, right? Not all the shiva saminim, but dafka mizonos. And some say dafka pas, dafka bread. So what comes out is that if a person ate a fruit or drank something in one place, so he definitely doesn't need a bracha achrona b'mkomo for that. It's not shiva saminim. Let's say we're talking about an apple, an orange, or something. It's not shiva saminim. Or he drank, he had a cup of coffee. Right, in his house, and then he went to a different house, and then he'd have to make another bracha rishona. He wants to have another apple, he wants to have another cup of coffee. It's not just if he goes into a different house. Let's say a person leaves his house. He makes a shahakal on his coffee, and he realizes he's late to shir. He takes the coffee out of the house. That's a shinui makom. People don't know this. Right? You take the coffee out of the house, you have to make another shahakal. Because it's a shinui makom. Not so simple. Right? Since you don't need the bracha achrona to be b'mkomam, you can make the bracha achrona, the bar nefeshes, on the coffee outside of the home. So your kviyas is nesvata once you leave the home. So then you'd have to make another bracha rishona if you continue the coffee outside the home. This can happen. Something to keep in mind.
If you go, let's say, running with drinking water, you have to make a bracha every time.
That's a different question. That's not a shinui makom. Because you started the bracha outside. So okay. So let's back up a second. Let's say a person wants to go to the shir. He wants to take his coffee to the shir, but he wants to make the coffee at home because you know the shul doesn't have good coffee. So he wants to make his coffee at home and take it to the shul. Great, no problem. Don't make the bracha rishona in your house, right? Make the bracha rishona outside, right? Make the bracha rishona in your car. Make the bracha rishona outside. So that's not viewed as a makom. A makom means a makom that has mechitzas. I think if you make the bracha rishona in your car, especially if you have das to go into the shul, you're not going to have to make another bracha rishona when you get into the shul. That's okay. But if you make the bracha rishona in your own home, that's not so simple. Even if you have das to continue outside, if it's bias, labias, from one bias to another bias, that could be, or even if it's just taking it out of the bias, you might require another bracha rishona. So better to make the bracha outside of the house. Yes?
It doesn't matter if you're drinking from the bias to the shul or from the dorms to the shir room. If you're sipping on a coffee,
it doesn't matter. As long as you have that shinui makom, that's mevatel your kviyas, even if you were still sipping as you're walking out of the house, because you've been mevatel your kviyas by leaving the home. So what's considered a shinui makom? Where do you have to go? So as we mentioned, the bias, walking from house to house, the definition of shinui makom. How about not me bias to bias? Let's say mecheder lecheder, walking from one room to another in one bias. So at first glance, you'd say, that's a shinui makom. Come on, everyone does that. Start the meal in your dining room, and then you walk around a little bit. You walk into the kitchen, and you walk over here, you walk there. The minig is to assume that mecheder lecheder, the so-called sabayis, is not considered a shinui makom. Even to go upstairs to your bedroom, we assume it's not considered a shinui makom. That's what the minig is. But it's not so simple. The Mishnah Berurah and Siman Kuf Ayin Ches has a whole discussion in the Bir Aloch about this, whether Mecheder Lecheder Ba'osa Bayis is considered a Shinui Makom. The best thing is that a person should have das when they start in their home, in one room, they should have das. Wherever I walk in the house, you know, I'm having a meal at home. You know, that's your stam das. If that's your stam das, then that's okay. If yadas metchila was to move mecheder lecheder, then it certainly would not be considered a shinin makom. If it's mibayas labayas, though, that probably would be considered a shinin makom, even if you had kavanah to go from one home to another. Yes?
Just two practical questions about NYU. Is the whole Rubin building, is that considered to be one big building?
Not so simple. Is the gym the same building as the Rubin residence hall? It certainly wasn't there when I went to college over here, right? But now is it attached? Is it used the same building? The cafeteria was there, though, right? The gym is like to the side. Is that viewed as the same building? I guess now it probably is. It's attached. As long as you're not walking outside, it probably is viewed as the same building. But the best idea is always to have in mind from the beginning. I probably would not make another bracha. Right? If you made a bracha on the calf and then you're going to the gym, that's probably viewed as mecheder lecheder. So I probably would not make another bracha there. Yes?
How about tunnels where you're really walking from two different buildings and you're not going outside?
There's a tunnel from Belfort to Rubin?
Yeah.
Whoa. This is scary. I didn't know. Secret tunnels. I knew there were a lot of secrets. The tunnels were secrets, too.
Sheer trip.
I could think.
It's outside somewhere.
I think that's called walking outside. It's a different building. That's really a different building. It's a tunnel leading from building to building. I think the gym and the Rubin residence hall is a little different. That's viewed as one building. It's not just a tunnel leading from one building to the other. It's just a door. I would say going in a tunnel, that's probably from one building to another. I think so. Yes?
And like within the dorm room, within like Rubin, like if you're going from your dorm room to the cafeteria, that's considered one building still, even though it's either both.
Like an apartment building, you're saying. It should be like an apartment building. That's a very good shaila. So forget about the cafeteria to your room. Let's say you made a bracha in your dorm room, and then you're going to go to your friend's dorm. Yeah, so that's the that's the thing. I think in an apartment building, going from one apartment to the other might be me bias le bias, because it's really a different bias, different rishus. I think from dorm room to dorm room, I think it's just so common for people. People feel like they're just living with each other. They don't view each dorm room as being a completely separate unit. Maybe das of people plays a role in terms of defining what's called a bias and what's called a cheder. Okay. The Ramah does point out that if you leave someone still eating, even if you only ate fruits or a drink, that's enough to say that it's not going to be considered a shini makom. A very important halacha, right? You leave someone in the bayis, and then that's not going to be called a shini makom. You won't have to make another. That's a different halacha. That means if you're coming back, right? You left and now you're coming back. If you leave the place, then you'll have to make another bracha in a new place. But if you're coming back, then lechor you also should have to make another bracha rishona because you were okay, you were mishana makom. Kamash malan, no. If you leave the people there, then you wouldn't have to make another bracha when you come back. A very common shaila that's asked is, let's say a person eats bread. Right? So bread, pasta, is one of those things that we know for sure you have to make a bracha achrona b'mkomo. So what happens if a person left the makom, and now he's in a bind? He really doesn't want to have to go back to make the birchas hamazon where he ate, because he's late. He's late for shir or late for something. The shaila comes up, somebody asked me the shaila last year, that he ate in his apartment or ate in his dorm room or whatever, and now he came to shir. We were just about to start. She was like a minute to shir. And he said, should I go back to my dorm room to bench? If I go back, I'm going to miss the first 5 to 10 minutes of shir. Is it kedai to do that? So the answer is that the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Pei Dalet Sif Aleph discusses a difference between shachach or hazy. Let's say a person left his original makom, he ate bread, he left his original makom, but mazik, meaning he knew he didn't bench, but he left because someone called him out, he went to Davin or whatever, he went somewhere, but he knew that he hadn't benched. So in that case, he definitely has to go back. I mean, that's the halacha, that lechem requires a bracha achrona b'mkomo, so there's a chiyuv to go back if he left the mazik. What's the din of shachach? Let's say b'shogeg, he left it, he forgot that he hadn't benched. That could happen. A person eats, and they get involved in other things, and then they head off to what they're doing, and they forget that they didn't bench. And suddenly, 10 minutes later, they're on a journey. They got into the car. Someone's taking them for a ride somewhere. They're going to a chasana, and 15 minutes into the journey, they realize, you know what? I forgot to bench. It's not that b'mezid he left his place. He forgot that he didn't bench. What's the din there? So that's machlokes b'shamay beis hillel in the Mishnah and Brachas and from the Nala from it beis. What's the din by shachach? Do you have to go back then too? Or can you just make the bracha b'mkomo? Beis hillel says just make the bracha b'mkomo. B'shamay is machlokes that you have to go back. There's machlokes we've shown him how to paskin. Some Rishonim paskin like beis shamay. They say this is an exception for the rule, even though normally in a machlokes b'shamay beis hillel we paskin like beis hillel. So here some Rishonim say this is an exception, we paskin like beis shamay, and you would have to go back. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says it's appropriate to be machmer for those Rishonim to go back to paskin like beis shamay. But shasadchak, in an extenuating circumstance, it's very difficult for you to go back. Like let's say you're taking a ride with your friends, and it's a big tircha for the friends, and they don't really want to go back, and they're giving you a hard time. So then perhaps you can be makel just to make the birchas wasn't right. Let's say a person is late for shir. Right, so he can be makel just to make the birchas hamazon in his spot in the shir room rather than going back, because that's an extenuating circumstance. L'chatchil, if a person leaves and he can go back, even if it's a 5-minute walk or a 10-minute walk, he should go back. If he can, he can. If he's not going to be missing anything, he can, and he should. He should be makel for that shita, like beis shamay. But b'di'eved b'shasadchak, we can be makel for beis hillel that as long as shachach. Right? Even though pas is something that's the quintessential item that needs the bracha achrona b'mkomo, by shachach you can make it to beis hillel and just make the bracha achrona in the new place where you find yourself. It's an important halacha to keep in mind. Yes?
If I ate something in my room and I'm in Reuben, and afterwards I'm heading to shir, I forgot shachach, right? And then on my way out, I said, oh shoot, I forgot, I should bench. Should I go up to my room for
myself,
or should I just stay in the Reuben lobby and make a
I think probably better to go back to your room. That's not, you're not so far away. We're talking about a minute or two. Here, we were talking about a significant period of time. Significant period of time, a person, you know, is going to lose a lot in 10 minutes. So for such an individual, maybe we can be right. And finally, when is the last time that you can say a bracha achron? That's what Avi Resnick was mentioning. How long after eating can you make a bracha achron? So that's also a Mishnah. Same Mishnah in Brachas and Daf Nun Aleph on the base. Mishnah says that you can make a bracha achrona ad kedei sheyis'akel hamazon b'meil, until a shas igel, until the food is digested in the stomach. So what does that mean? What's the shear of igel? Igel hamazon. Not so simple. So it seems to be a machlokas in the Gemara, and daf nun gimel amud beis. Some amoraim say that it's as long as you're not hungry, right? You're still satisfied from that food that you ate. Kozman she'eino ra'ev. As long as you're not hungry, so then the equal hasn't really begun significantly, right? So you can still make a bracha achrona for what you ate. But the other daya is that the shir is dalet milin. Dalet milin, not four words, but dalet milin, right? A meal is a big machlokas what a meal is, but leaving that out. The simple pshat is a meal is 18 minutes. So how much is dalet milin? 72 minutes, right? That's the famous 72 minutes that everyone talks about. Dalet milin, it's one day in the Amorah, in the Gemara and Brachas. There are two opinions in the Gemara. What's the sheer equal? Is it kol zman she'ein aroyv, as long as you still feel satisfied, you're not hungry? Well, no, it's dalet milin, 72 minutes old. What's the answer? Is this just a machlokas? So the Gemara says, no, it might not be a machlokas. Kan ba'achila meruba, kan ba'achila mu'etas. Maybe it depends how much you ate. Maybe if you ate a lot, it's one shear. If you ate a little, it's a different shear. Which shear? So that's machlokas Rishon, how to learn the Gemara. Rashi learns that dalet milin is the maximum shear. 72 minutes is the maximum shear. That's the shear. Equal after 72 minutes, you can't make a bracha achrona. So Rashi says that for an achila meruba, you have dalet milin, achila mu'etas. If it's only a little bit, the shear is not even dalet milin. It's less than that. Less than dalet milin. For an achila muletas. Comes Tosis and says, no, dalet milin is the minimum shear. The minimum shear is dalet milin. If you have an achila meruba, you ate a lot, and even after 72 minutes, you still feel satisfied. So Tosis would say, 72 minutes is not the shear. You make a bracha achrona even after 72 minutes. Right? Kozman she'eino ra'ev is I'm not sure whether you call it a chumra or a kula, but it's a cool in a sense, you can still make a bracha achrona even after 72 minutes. So how do we paskin in this? It's very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention dalet milin bichlal. Now this is what everyone knows, 72 minutes. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, kozman shehu roiv. That's the shir. It almost sounds like the Shulchan Aruch holds that it's not that there's a chiluk whether it's you're eating a lot or you're eating a little. It's a machlokas in the Gemara. We paskin that calls manchu rhyme. As long as you're not hungry, if you still feel full, then that's it. The Darkei Moshe mentions Dalet Mila. That's the thing. How do these two shiurim come together? At least for the Ashkenazim, for the Sfardim, lechora the shiur is if you still feel full, you can make a bracha achrona. If you don't feel full, you can't make a bracha achrona. According to the Ramah, so how does Dalet Milim play out? It says the Mishnah Berura, if you have eaten achila muetes, if you ate a little bit, and you're having a hard time figuring out whether you're still hungry or not hungry, so then you can rely on Dalet Milim. If you know for sure that you ate nachilu muetes, you ate a little bit, and you know for sure that you don't feel hungry anymore, so then you can't make a bracha achrona even if it's less than dalet milim. But if you're not so sure, so then you can rely on 72 minutes. That's where 72 minutes comes from. That you ate a little bit, you don't know if you're hungry or not hungry, so you can assume that if it's less than 72 minutes, you can make a bracha achrona. Like you had, let's say, a muffin in the morning for breakfast. You had a croissant, right? You had something to eat, some kind of mizonos, and now you're not sure. Right? You make a bracha achrona, you not make a bracha achrona, you're not sure if you're hungry. You know, it's a little while. Maybe it's 45 minutes or something. It's less than 72 minutes. It's not such a big meal. You're not sure if you're hungry. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, until 72 minutes, you can make a bracha achrona. But if you had an achila meruba, if you had a significant meal, right, so then if you still feel full, right, even more than 72 minutes, you can make a bracha achrona. Someone just came to me last week and asked me a shayla that he had a bagel for breakfast. A bagel for breakfast, and he forgot to bench. It's more than 72 minutes, but so the first question I asked him was, do you still feel full? He said, yeah, I still feel full. I said, so I think you could bench. Right? Even though it's more than 72 minutes, that's a halacha Moshe Sinai, right? The answer is not such a halacha Moshe Sinai. If you still feel full, especially if you washed, right? Washed, you had a bagel. You know, that's a significant achila, I think. It's not achila meruba ma'od, but it's a significant achila. And he told me he still feels full. I think the halacha should be, even if it's more than 72 minutes, he still would be able to bench. You can make a bracha achrona on that eating. Some of the poskim point out that you get into a sticky situation if the kind of food that you're eating is not so satisfying. You're not eating it for the satisfaction, you're eating it for the quenching of the thirst or something like that, or because it's sweet, like candy or something, or, you know, something of that nature. It's not like, you know, meat or zoinus or something like that, right? It's more like candy or especially drinking. Let's say a person's working out in the gym and they're drinking. So you drink a little bit of water. You know, how often does a person drink? Every 10 minutes when they're working out, when they're jogging? Something like that, every 10 minutes or something. Now, a person goes to the Chagiga of Purim, right? So how often do you drink, right? Every 10 minutes or so as you're dancing around? I don't know, something like that. So the question is, when you drink the second time, so is that the end of the shir equal for the first drink? You feel very thirsty. That's why you're drinking the second time. So it's very tricky. The poskim say that if all you're doing is drinking, it could be that the shir equals much less than dalet milin, a dalet of milin. The minimum shir might be much less than dalet milin. Not so clear what the shear should be. There are different discussions in the poskim. The best thing to do, if we're talking about drinking, the best thing to do when a person drinks is to make a bracha rishona, and if he has enough for a bracha achrona as well, which is tricky when it comes to drinking from a water fountain. If you drink from a cup, so you can have a shear for a bracha achrona. Drink from a water fountain. The problem is that even if you drink a lot, but it could be that it's not mitzarif together. Because you're drinking a little bit, and then another little bit, and then another little bit, and another one. You know, if you put a lot of water into your mouth at one time, so then you might have a full shear at one time. But if not, so even if you have the full shear, whether it's melolugma, or it's a revius, or it's a kezayis, it's a multiple shearin for bracha achrona when it comes to drinking. Even if you do have a shear, it could be it's not mitzarif together. But let's say a person has a Gatorade on the side, and he's going to drink from his Gatorade. He's going to drink from a Snapple. So then he definitely will have a shear. So if a person is going to have a full shear, he's going to take a cup, right? He has a bottle of water, and he's going to take with a cup from the bottle. So you drink from a cup, you'll have 3 or 4 ounces, no question about it. So the best thing is to make a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona right then and there each time. Meaning it's better to make a bracha achrona right then and there, because if not, you'll come into a suffic bracha because you don't know. Maybe the reason why you're drinking the second time is not that the shir equal is over, but you feel a little bit thirstier. It's like a preventive. It's not that the shir equal is completely gone, right? Maybe the water is still being digested, the effect is still felt in your body, but you feel a little bit thirsty, so you're drinking a little bit more. It's like a suffic bracha. So the best thing to do is to make a bracha achrona immediately. Make a bar nefashos right after you drink, and then you can continue with your jogging, with your working out, and then if you take another bracha on that drink as well. Because when it comes to drinking, it's highly questionable when the shir equal really is. When you're talking about, you know, more solid foods, more substantive foods like meat or cakes and cookies and things like that, so then I think as long as a person feels satisfied, then you can definitely make a bracha achrona. And maybe even if it's more than dalet milin, right? If you eat a significant amount and you still feel satisfied, then perhaps you can make a bracha achrona, even if it's after 7 minutes.